Chapter 10. Seven people. Of a crew of 24, seven had survived the crash, and of those, only two were unscathed. With his wits returning, following the utter shock of the initial horror, Charlie's medic training from his early days, before he decided to pursue an engineering and sciences path, finally kicked in. His skills, while out of practice, nevertheless proved quite helpful. And with the ample supplies from the salvaged first aid kits, he had managed to patch up the least serious of the little band of survivors' injuries as best he could. Jamal had been pinned under a support beam when they found him. He was playing it tough, but Charlie knew the man had internal injuries. For all that muscle and power, without proper medical care, their head of security and disaster response wouldn't last the week. Others had suffered broken limbs, which he set and splinted, as well as a variety of lacerations he sealed with medical adhesive when he could, and somewhat ugly sutures when he couldn't. By the time he had patched up their hurt, he was exhausted, emotionally as well as physically. Still, he wished he had more patients to treat. Hurt was better than the alternative the others had suffered. The lowermost lab spaces had, as they had feared, been utterly obliterated in an instant, they verified. Judging by the angle of impact, the belly had been destroyed immediately. He hated to think what had happened to those people's bodies, the ones they hadn't found in the wreckage. At least they didn't suffer, Charlie comforted himself. The others weren't so lucky. Charlie? It was Winnie Yang. The bandage wrapped around her head bore a small blossom of red, and her arm was wrapped in a makeshift splint, but her injuries had been relatively minor, all things considered. Compared to the rest of her teammates, she was in great shape. Compared to them, she was alive. She had been up a few levels in her quarters rather than down below in the research lab when the crash occurred. She was always a little chilly, and running to get her lucky scarf had saved her life. Perhaps it really was a good luck charm, Charlie mused. Trapped on an alien world, time would tell if the survivors were actually the fortunate ones. Yeah, what's up, Winnie? Are you okay? He replied. I think so, Charlie, she said, unable to take her eyes off the row of bodies covered by tarps and whatever else they could find to keep them out of the elements until they could provide a proper burial. I was thinking about the rats. Their containers were reinforced plastic, and boxes that size can withstand a lot of force without breaking. Do you think they might have survived? Charlie shared a quick look with Rika. Winnie was in shock and on the verge. Hey, you know what? They might have, he replied cautiously. The labs were torn open, but if they fell out, sure, I suppose they could have survived. We should look for them then. We simply don't have the resources to do that, Winnie. People are hurt, and there's limited food and water to burn through searching for them. But they'd be useful to test local plant life to see if it's edible or not. Oh, you want them for experiments, he said, humoring her. What, did you think I was getting sentimental about my rodents? They're tools, Charlie, and we could use every tool we can salvage. Still, finding those tiny boxes in that trail of debris, well, it's going to have to be a lower priority. But don't you see the value they could provide? Sure I do, he said, seeing where this was going. I'll tell you what, tomorrow I'll head down the debris path from our crash and see what I can find, okay? Thanks, Charlie. You got it. Now try and get some rest. Charlie would be true to his word and keep his eyes open for her little friends. But higher on the list of priorities was seeing if there were any traces of the things she wanted to use them to test in the first place, food and water. They had crashed in a barren desert area, the red rocks and dried dirt finding their way into every nook and cranny. Charlie just hoped there wasn't any irritant in the soil. He and Rika set to work, forcing their weary bodies into action once more, gathering up shelter materials, creating a windbreak at the entrance to the section of the crippled ship they had determined to be safe enough to serve as housing for the night. They had no idea exactly how cold it would get that night in the desert-like environment, but they took no chances, arranging their salvaged sleeping bags and other warmth-saving layers close by should they need them. Charlie gathered whatever crude kindling they had and set to stacking them to form a basic blaze to help warm the group.
No fire, Jamal said, fighting to keep the pain from showing on his face. We don't know what's out there. You actually think there's aliens? Charlie asked. I have no idea, Charlie. What I do know is it is always better to assume the worst, even when you're hoping for the best. Keeps you from unpleasant surprises. And disappointment, Rika added. That sounds more like dating advice than a survival tip, Jamal said with a pained grin. Aren't they one and the same? She replied. Ow, don't make me laugh. Sorry, Jamal. It's all good, he said, forcing the grimace from his face. Charlie looked at the huddled survivors. The corpses wouldn't be suffering from the cold, but the rest of their motley group very well might. Okay then, no fire. We started to gather up whatever rations and water were readily accessible, but there wasn't much. Saving crew was the priority. Appreciated. I'll grab what we have and hand them out. We'll eat while they're still light, then I'll make a trip into the powered sections to find what more we can salvage. He handed each of the survivors a little something to eat from their sparse supplies, then hurried off, ready to once again search through the wreckage. Let me help, Rika offered. Thanks. I'm glad at least one body besides mine is intact. You really know how to flatter a girl, Charlie. I didn't mean it like that. I know, I'm just fucking with you. It's been a long day, you know. Tell me about it. Quietly, the two dug through the wreckage of the once great ship for whatever additional food they could salvage. Laden with their meager booty, they soon returned to the others. The suns were getting lower in the blue sky, the light spectrum shifting to a more normal, Earth-like shade as the red star dipped beneath the horizon, leaving them awash in the yellow light of the remaining sun. The survivors ate in silence until that sun, too, slid lower and lower, leaving them in darkness. The wounded huddled together, sharing warmth. Charlie felt an arm wrap across his chest as the welcome heat of Rika played big spoon to his little one. He was unconscious in minutes. The survivors all slept soundly that night, despite their situation. The stress and exhaustion of the ordeal had drained them completely. The next day, however, there would be little time for rest. It would be the beginning of the next stage of their scenario, the one where they figured out how to survive.